Okay, recording is on.
Okay, you still have a minute. Who's, how, okay.
Yeah, this didn't have any information, I could put the website in much more detail.
Okay, I'd like to call this August 13th meeting of the Tukwila-Poole Metropolitan Park District to order. Pledge of Allegiance? Yes?
Mission Vision.
Mission Vision. That's why the MV is on here. Thank you. What's MV? Okay. The Tukwila-Poole Metropolitan Park District mission statement: to provide a welcoming public aquatics facility managed in a fiscally responsible manner with a focus on safety. We carry out this mission with a board and staff who are compassionate, inclusive, and responsive to the needs of our diverse community, working to foster positive and lifelong experiences with aquatic environments. The TPMPD vision statement: contributing to the quality of life for our community and for future generations through welcoming, fun, safe, and positive aquatic experiences at the Tukwila-Poole. Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, roll call. Commissioner Zapital, Commissioner Gengler present, Commissioner Frangello Anderson
present,
Commissioner Newfer, Commissioner Shipman
present,
Director of Aquatics Operations Michelle
present,
District Administrator Richard
present.
Okay, and we have a guest, Justin
Austin.
Sorry.
Present.
Okay.
What's your last name, Austin?
Stowers. S-T-O-W-E-R-S.
Okay, I would entertain a motion at this point.
Commissioner Frangello Anderson makes a motion to excuse Commissioners Zapital and Newfer from tonight's meeting.
Commissioner Shipman seconds.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Awesome. Okay, I would take a motion to approve the agenda.
Commissioner Shipman, motions for approval of the agenda for this evening.
Okay.
Commissioner Frangello Anderson seconds.
Okay, all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Yay, passed. All right, operations note: recognition of employees, 2 of the month. And I will turn it over to our Director of Aquatics Operations to discuss our employees of the month.
Okay, so we have a tie, Joe Skank and Anna Clacken. Both got employee of the month. Joe works at the front desk, and he displayed excellent customer service skills and lots of patience with our patrons in our busy summer season. And then Anna is a new lifeguard of ours. She started the beginning of the summer, and she's just been an excellent lifeguard, really good at cleaning and finding stuff to do. And she's really good about picking up shifts and has excellent customer service as well.
All right. Well, thank you very much to both Joe and Anna. And we will make sure that we get a card for Joe. I'll bring one to the pool on Sunday or Saturday and remind the commissioners to sign it. Okay. No citizens? All right. Okay, so next is the consent agenda. Motion, please.
Commissioner Commissioner Frangello Anderson makes a motion to approve the minutes of the Tuckahoe Pool Metropolitan Park District Board Meeting, July 9, 2018.
Commissioner Schmidt seconds.
Awesome. Any discussion? Okay. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right.
Commissioner Shipman, motions for consent agenda B for the approval of the vouchers.
Oh, I'm sorry. Commissioner Frangello Anderson seconds.
Okay. Any discussion on that? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. All right. We're on to report. It's going very quickly. All right, commissioner reports. Commissioner Frangello Anderson,
do you have anything to report?
Let me begin.
Okay, take your time.
Okay. Well, I attended the cardboard boat race, which was excellent. We had a total sellout this year, best attendance ever. And thank you to the fire department, as always. And fun to see the kids have such a good time and the strong duct tape. July 25th, Richard and I met with his aunts regarding the levy, and it was very informative. We received a lot of information. She's very helpful, and it's nice to know that she's there for us, and we can reach out to her with any questions. I attended the finance meeting on July the 30th. We'll do a report later if it's in the packet. And last note, I did secure pumpkins for the pumpkin plunge today. So we're all set.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Frangello Anderson. Commissioner Shipman.
I attended TPAC on the 21st of July, along with marketing after that. We just mostly discussed the surveillance policy again at TPAC and some other stuff. And then marketing, I think we mostly just ended up talking about the for the upcoming for the events. Don't really wait for much time. And then we double check. Oh, discuss the fact of life if we were going to be doing like the larger ones to double check the dates for that.
Oh, we talked about the Cascade.
Well, that's what's
the new one is coming up.
Oh, Cascade Park.
Cascade
Park. Right. And how it's people up for that.
The 22nd.
So it's that, and then you know, attended the cardboard boat races on the 21st also, which I was also, even though it's like crazy that we really had all the cardboard boats go out, it was so exciting to see that they all went out this year, and more exciting that we had more get across the pool, I think, than ever this year all the way across. And I'd also thank the fire department for showing up, doing their best again. And programming and outreach on the 7/23rd, which I guess we'll do a little quick report on that later on.
Okay, great. Yes, sir.
And I also attended the gender-only men's swim on Thursday nights 2 weeks ago, just to see what's going on with that and kind of see how the program is going with it.
Okay. So President Gengler, and unfortunately I didn't take very good notes, so I'll just steal from my fellow commissioners. I went to the cardboard boat race. It was very well attended, and the duct tape was amazing, and the fire department was awesome, and the kids seemed to have a really good time, although I do understand that there were some teams who did not follow the rules, and I believe that we have some issues with scissors and the quality of cutting devices, which I believe I spoke with our director of aquatics operations, and she has some excellent ideas, so I'm sure we'll make more changes in the years to come. And I went to the men's single gender swim the week after you did, and we had some good conversation with one of the parents there, and our director of aquatics operations was very helpful with all the attendees, and what was very very interesting about it. So Michelle greeted the kids when they came in, if their parent wasn't with them. She asked them if they could get their parent, if their parent could come, and she talked to the kids and basically was just saying, so we've got rules, and it's really important that we follow them because, you know, we want to be safe. And every single kid, everyone, knew exactly what she was talking about that had happened the prior week ago. And so it seems like they know what good behavior is, and we, at least that week that I was there, we did not have bad behavior, but we also had a very, very full parking lot and nobody could get in. So I'll be curious to hear what happened this past week when we get to that. I think I attended, I didn't attend the finance meeting, but I did want to share with you that today I was at the school district and the young girl who goes to Chuckwilla Elementary, who kind of reminds me of Kimmy, but isn't Kimmy?
Daisy.
Right, she was in with her mom. And I said, so are we going to see you this Saturday? And she said, yeah, and I couldn't remember the event, and she totally told me, and she's looking forward to it, so that was very fun. And Michelle has agreed that we can have a rodeo event next year instead of dive-in, which is very exciting. And I believe that might be all that I know at this point. End of my report. And we will now move to the Finance Committee. Jerry, do you have anything to report from the Finance Committee?
Not at this point.
No? Okay. Any questions for the Finance Committee? Anybody have any financial questions? How's the budget going?
That's pretty far. It's now they're working on the operations side.
Okay.
It'll be ongoing at the next Finance Committee meeting, which is on the 20, whatever day.
It's a Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday.
Oh, because there's programming this Wednesday, and then the following Wednesday is the...
The following Wednesday of the week.
It's like the last Wednesday of the month.
Correct.
Okay.
The 22nd. Oh, the last Wednesday?
Yeah, it's 29th.
Yeah,
it's
29th.
Yeah, 29th. I thought, okay. Yeah, right there, August 29th.
Oh, okay. And the outreach? Okay, so that's coming up. Sorry, don't mean to steal your thunder there. Okay, so nothing for the Finance Committee. Director of Aquatic Operations, your report now. I believe you wanted to do a dance. Did you bring music?
Oh, yeah, I did. So I requested that we get up and do like a happy dance. I'm just teasing. So you'll see in my report, let's see, let's go to the
34.
Well, I know it's my report, but...
Reports
to go with it. 35? Mm-hmm. The one with the pie
chart. Is this one right here? Right?
Yeah.
You don't have
it in mom's packet.
I'm missing pages 35 and 36 as well.
Oh, you are.
We're missing some pages, Richard.
Oh.
You have it.
I do have it, yes.
Because you have it.
Do you have the pie chart, Ellen? Okay.
Do you know to borrow it or you got it?
So, if you look at page 35,
yep,
you will see the differences in income from July of 17 to July of 18. And those of you that know me really well know that I'm super competitive with myself. So we completely knocked it out of the park. We were, what is that, $12,000 better that we brought in more than we did last year. And so I'm extremely happy about that in our busy part of the summer. And then you'll see down in swim lessons income in July of 17 we brought in $11,400 and this year we brought in $18,660, so a huge increase in swim lessons revenue. So that I think even exceeded my own personal goals, so I'm very happy about that. So that was basically what I want to talk about. It's about a 63% increase from last year's for the month, which is pretty awesome. If we can just keep going that direction, that'd be great. We did have waiting lists for classes in the afternoons, so we did not meet the demand, which bothers me, but we definitely are going in the right direction. We needed more instructors. So next year, getting ready for the summer, and this is Kaiser's been over, right? This July, we didn't have Kaiser people, so we would have
so
Kaiser people.
Just public coming in
and
the 16
out of
the pool.
Wow. Right. So if we would have had the Kaiser kids, it would have been even, our wedding list would have been even worse. Mm-hmm. So preparations for next summer will be just hard.
But do you have the pool room? Even if you had more instructors, do you have the room in the pool?
I did have room in the pool.
Awesome.
I was not out of room yet. So next year it'll be, planning to have a lot more instructors, hopefully. So that's going to be going, I'm thinking about that for budget time too, to have more instructors, because those instructors are, more salaries, but also more money in training because we have to help. I had them, they were all certified instructors. So that's a 30, 40 hour class. By the time they study and all that stuff, so it's a pretty lengthy class they have to take. For maintenance, when I wrote this, everything was great. Everything at Kankakee was running smooth in the month of July. We didn't have any issues with our boiler. Chemical feeder was doing okay.
How was the new, because then that switched over to the chlorine, liquid chlorine now?
Yeah, we switched over on May 22nd or something. Oh,
so it's still working better than
yeah,
it was.
Well, it's I could go on a lot of detail about what's better and what's not or whatever, but all in all, yes, it's a better system. It's a lot easier. We don't have to have monthly maintenance done on it, which is really nice because we're paying $150 a month just for maintenance of them cleaning the chlorinator, and there's nothing to clean. Yeah, that's not a service that we need any month, so there are some savings there. And liquid chlorine is cheaper than the tablets that we were using. So as far as that goes, it's much better. The controller took a little while to get adjusted. It's just kind of hard to explain, but it took a little while for it to adjust. I'm still in search of a maintenance person. Mm-hmm. It's been a long, we're paying, the rate is really good. I think it's the hours, only saying 10 hours a week. It's strictly just like another income for someone, not to replace someone's income. So when I email the people back, even though it says part-time, it's part-time. It's not even, so nobody's, I've interviewed two people out of like the 18 that have applied. So, and those two didn't pan out at all, so I'm still trying. So the women's locker room doors, they currently don't exist. They've been taken
down. Both of the doors?
Yes, they've been taken down. They were completely falling apart, like pieces of the door falling out from underneath the door. So we took the doors off the hinges. I did end up taking them to Frank's Lumber. Not the day that we took them off, if you'd help me. So the day I was wanting to take them was Seafair day, and it was not a good day to go to Shoreline. It was already a horrible commute for me the day that I took them, which was last Thursday. So I rented a truck from Home Depot because these things are just huge and very, very heavy. This one knows. It was hard to move those things around. But so I took them to the door place. The issues that we were having is that even though both of the doors came from the women's locker room, one was rated 60-minute fire and the other one was rated 90-minute fire. So I've been jumping.
Sorry, what is that?
One was rated for a 60-minute fire door.
The
other one was a 90-minute fire door. So the question was, why? And then what do I need to do? And so I contacted my husband and was like, what do I do? Like, do I replace a 60-minute and 90-minute? It doesn't make sense because the 90 is more expensive. And he said, you need to talk to the fire marshal. So I called the fire marshal in Tequila, and he actually answered the phone. Yay me. And he said that I needed to talk to building and planning and inspection code, whatever.
Yeah.
So then he transferred me, and the guy answered the phone.
Wow.
I'm standing in Frank's door place waiting to hear, what do I need to tell him to give you what quotes? And he said that we would have to have an architect draw plans, and then he short answer would, easy answer for us would be replace like for like. So whatever was not even in, replace the 90 other ones. And then Dave Pookie, who's been working on this project with me, who told me to take them to Frank's store because otherwise I wouldn't know where to take them. he did some calling around and looking online, and they only have to be 60-minute. And from what I understand, they used to be doors that were electronic. You push the button and they would open up from people a long, long time ago. So even the people at Frank's store were like, these doors look like they were brought in from somewhere else because they're not the same door, they don't look alike, and they this and they that and everything else. So that's what we're thinking, is that these doors came from another location from somewhere and they just replaced them. So, and they're not the same size, even though it's the same, like, door hole size. It's just really complicated. So Dave's been helping me trying to figure out what we need to do to replace these doors. And then there's the option of replacing it with, instead of being a wood door, replacing it with a, what is it, steel or something, or aluminum, or whatever it is.
Oh, like in a kitchen.
Well, like our front doors, they're metal, or whatever they are.
They're glass.
Well, the
aluminum frame.
Aluminum, maybe it's aluminum. So, so we're just trying to get quotes and figure out what to do. And then getting a door that's already finished. I don't want a door I have to finish. I don't want to finish a door. And so it's not as easy as just give me two doors. So it is what I thought it was going to be. It's not easy. The men's locker room door, one of them, the one closest to the pool, doesn't even have a fire ring. It doesn't have a little thing on the inside. So I've got all these different things going on there that I'm like trying to figure out the answers to. So that was, it's definitely a work in progress. So maybe a little longer before we get those doors replaced. So maybe, does anyone have any questions about the maintenance side of things right now?
What?
Do you have any questions about what I just said?
What about the leak?
I do not know. So the person that came out there, their pool specialist, I had been emailing him, and he emailed me back and told me he was sorry. He was like, they sent him out of state to do a leak detection, so I'm a big, so he asked me if they were still losing, it's around 3 to 4,000 gallons, and so I told him that it's still correct, that we're still losing water, and we're still using about the same amount of water every day, because I have a gauge, and so I asked him what he needed to do.
Sorry, 3 to 4,000 a day. That we're losing.
Yeah. Take deep breaths. So, I don't know what the next step is. That's why I'm asking him, what do I need to do now? Because he was even thinking that maybe the gauge was wrong, because he said I would have seen a significant drop in the water, because I did those two tests overnight, and I didn't see any change in the water. Like, turn the pumps off, like, turn the fill water off, where there's nothing going in, nothing going out. The water's just sitting there, and it didn't drop at all. So I don't know where this water is being lost from.
So maybe it could be at the gauge thing.
I don't know. This is like beyond
Okay, so you got that on the back burner whenever he decides to respond.
Yes. And let me know what I need to do next, because I don't know. Or maybe they need to figure out if this water is being lost from some other part of the building. I don't know. I don't think it's the pool, which I thought it was a pool. He thought it was the pool, and then I was freaking out thinking it was the pool. And then I really don't think it's the pool.
We do have an increased amount building-wise that we're charging for, right?
Yes.
And so is he saying like the gauge, like that's like incoming from the street that they...
No, that was replaced recently. So I don't know. He was talking about the gauge that the water that goes into the pool to fill the water up. So I don't know. Maybe it's saying, registering that we're using water and we're not. I'm not really sure. I don't know.
But I mean, I must be going somewhere though, the city is still charging more.
Yes. That's what we can't figure out. I can't figure it out. I don't know if he's stumped too. I don't know. I think he was convinced it was the pool. And then when I told him it wasn't, he's probably like, I don't know. I think he's got to come out and spend more time at our facility, honestly. So, and then we're working on the maintenance plan. It's probably just going to be an Excel instead of using like a company because it's expensive, like a maintenance log. is what we're looking at doing. So as far as going on down, like the staff have managers in place now, thankfully, but I just need, you know, of course it's the end of the summer and people are starting to leave to go to college, and then I've, you know, we have some scheduling issues coming up really soon, so we've got to figure that out. Like opening people, you know, they have to be 18 to open the early in the morning. So that's what I'm struggling with right now. So, volunteer training. Yay. You guys ready to hear about that? So I went to WCIA's volunteer training in July, and I learned that the process for having volunteers includes like a volunteer application, references, and they even gave a sample and talked about what kind of references they needed to be, interview questions, a handbook, a volunteer handbook, a sign-in sheet, and we're actually supposed to log those hours with LNI, and background checks, and reporting, like the hours to LNI, and I'm happy to say that I've delegated this to Austin. And Austin has been working very hard on this, and he's actually almost finished. So we're was going to ask you guys if the volunteer handbook and whatever else, what the volunteer application has been done. I did that several months ago, but the handbook, if you guys would want me or like for me to present that to TPAC and see what they think.
Absolutely.
Okay, and then go from TPAC to you guys. Yeah. Is that right? Okay. So we may have that finished. It's just some of the formatting we got to get. Austin did a great job. He just doesn't know the way we format stuff. And so I showed him our employee handbook. And
we're very particular.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She
said. I could say that. So once we get the formatting ready, I might be able to bring it to TPAC here on Saturday. Possibly. Okay.
Is that going to have like something like policy stuff with it, or is that just a handbook?
It's just a handbook. Richard's doing the policy part.
Oh, okay. Richard's doing the policy. How's it? Yes.
Volunteer policy.
So, Richard, do we have a volunteer policy? Do you know
unknown.
If we do? Pardon?
Unknown.
Unknown. Okay. So can you put that on your task list to go through the policies and see if we have a volunteer policy. We don't? Okay. All right. then we will need to create one.
So thankfully, WCIA gave us a really big packet of a sample handbook. It said you can copy from it and just try to make it your own. Sample application. And my application did need to be changed. It was, they wanted more references than what I had on mine, or something different.
They didn't want one of the references she had to begin with was a family member. However, they said that was not a good option, and that it had to be a personal or professional reference, not a family member.
And it gave sample interview questions. Like it literally,
awesome.
And it was really great. So.
Right. Well, then it sounds like maybe all we need is just a basic. The policy will follow. You know, we'll have whatever. So we'll look into that. But yeah, you can go ahead and go forward and see what TPAC says. So, yeah.
Can I just ask, Michelle, was there any documentation that they gave you from that training that you can forward to me that I can use as a basis when I draft this?
I don't have it digitally, but I have a paper copy that I got when I was there.
If you scan it, then that's fine.
Okay.
Do you know if in the packet that they gave you, did they have any policies or no?
The handbook has examples for policies that should be created, but it doesn't have like actual policies. It
okay,
just
that's
a,
fine.
Gives
okay,
a list
so
of what they should.
Okay, great. Okay, anything else, Nada?
No, if you might have any questions about the reports that came with this as far as the POS and check-ins.
Any updates on how the mats are going? Have you got a better setup on that yet?
No. So the mats are very cumbersome, to say the least. But we are trying to figure out ways to make it better. Talk to manufacturer today, try to figure out what are our options. It's very not fun. It's just a really, really large piece of equipment we're rolling around and scraping the walls, and it's just, we just don't have a lot of space, you know? So they did measure to make sure the wheel would fit between the diving board and the wall. And it does, but not without scraping the wall, because when you have the mats on there too, and then you're talking about asking staff to push something where you've got like this much space, you have this much leeway space, they're gonna bump into, you know, they're gonna bump into it. So it's.
Is it a safety hazard? Is it a fire hazard?
No, it's not. It's just when we're trying to move it to take the mats off and put them on, it's just there's not enough space back there, so it's just a huge, it's like 16 feet or something long. It's a massive wheel. I think it's 16 feet.
Roughly.
Yes.
And is it time consuming?
Oh yes. Is this what the company we purchased from recommended for our pool? I mean, they had been to our pool and saw what we had?
Yes. And they came out and measured and said.
And this is the recommendation that they went with?
Yes.
But there was no other pool in the city or around close by to see how it all worked before we purchased it?
No, because our issues are the water slide and the diving board. Not everybody has the same configuration, nor do they have the exact same pool deck space that we have, which is very little. So it's kind of, we have obstructions. We have things that are in our way that we can't move, like the water slide and the diving board. Those are the two biggest issues. Those are the two, because we're trying to pull mats out around a structure. It's not the mats need to go on straight as possible. You can't pull it from an angle, because then it's going to roll up at an angle, and then you're constantly pulling and tugging. And,
has Orca come out?
It's Orca, right?
Yes. And they're the ones who delivered them, and were there when we put the wheel there, and they brought the mats in. I talked to them again today. They just brought them out last week. Mm-hmm. Talked to them again today and was like, we're having a lot of problems. So we can definitely tell that the pool used to be red, because it's marked the wall so much you can see the color before.
Oh, wow.
Did y'all remember it ever being red?
No.
Anyway, it was red at one point. Have you seen the red?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyhow.
Okay.
I've asked them if we could pull the mats. It's kind of hard to explain, but no. So you're not allowed to pull the mats like over the land ropes, but the way we were pulling them over the ropes, the mats were.
They got all torn on the bottom.
Yeah, they got torn on the bottom because we were pulling the ropes across. We were pulling the mats across the ropes, like against the grain, so to speak. So the ropes they're like little discs, right? That go on a string. All these little hundreds of like discs.
Like little lifesavers.
Yes, like lifesavers. And so we were pulling the ropes against the way the mats are. So it was rubbing against the side.
Yeah.
Okay? So the way that I would like to pull them across now, because the mats are different directions, is it would just roll across in the same direction. So instead of... The mats will roll across like this, instead of going it like this. Right. So I asked today, can you ask? I'd have two mats I want to move and move over so that we don't have to move that wheel back and forth, but just behind the diving board to move lanes 1 and 2. If someone on each end could just pull it across over the ropes and then get it on the wheel without having to move that wheel back and forth, and it would roll along with the mats so it shouldn't cut it instead of going against it. It clearly says that it would void the warranty on the mats if we were to roll it over the mat, over the ropes.
How much time does it take just to take the lane lines out?
So,
I mean, if you're talking like it was an hour to take, put the stuff in, I mean, it takes you know, 10 minutes to pull the landmines out really quick. You know what I mean? And then you can just
pull them out. It's a lot easier to pull them out, but a lot harder to put them in. So,
is it hard to put them in just because it's hard to put them in, or is it hard to put them in because we have antiquated equipment?
Both. It's like 50-50. Our ropes are incredibly...
I think that they've got to have ropes that have a little bit more spandex to them.
No, they don't have, no.
Well, I know ours don't, but no. Don't they make any?
Not with spandex, though.
With some sort of stretch?
No, yeah. Stretching.
Really?
City was stretching. No. They make it where it's like super tight because they have to be really tight. So if you have something that...
At this point, it would be bad.
Yeah, I don't think that would work.
Well, they're buoyant themselves. I mean, they're already buoyant. Right. So it's not like you need them to be super tight to be buoyant.
Yeah, but if they're not, then like the wave actually like,
yeah,
makes
that
them
I can
get
see.
All buoyant.
But a little spandex.
Like a bungee?
What kind of a little tiny. Just a little. So that it makes it easier. I don't know.
We're trying different things. I mean, the first day was a nightmare because I didn't have... It was just a lot of things went wrong, but I was there for that. It was like, okay, we can do this, we can do this. But when you put one mat on one, because there's like three spools, how do you say it, spools, and you're supposed to put two mats on each spool, whatever. And so when you put one on one end and you have to put one on the other end, the one on the end that you've already put on starts unwinding while you're trying to put the other one on.
Are you able to put two on at the same time?
No. I wish, but no. I wish we could. We can take...
Do you know that for a fact?
Well, there's not enough space, you know, with the diving board and stuff.
Well, okay. But I think that we might be able to do one and two and three and four at the same time. But that's something that we have to try.
Okay. But more experimentation. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I figured out... So right after we did the mats the first time, I went straight to Home Depot and bought some bungee cord, and so we do one mat, we bungee it, so it stays on there.
Oh, that's good.
And then we do another one, and we bungee it. But you talk about interesting. I went to Home Depot to buy bungee cord, which is my first time ever buying bungee cord because my husband always has tons of them. And there's a million different sizes, by the way.
Yeah.
And they're not undone, so I can just sit there and say, oh, this size looks great. They're all packaged up, and I'm trying to guess what size I'm doing. But I did really well. I didn't have to go back. What I bought worked perfectly.
Oh, congratulations.
It was sure luck.
Okay.
I didn't need this out. Any other questions from me?
Any questions for the Director of Products Operations? So your managers are working out well?
Except this one, but.
Yeah, he looks like he's a problem.
They are working out, yes, very, very well. I'm very pleased with everybody.
Well, I think it's great that you're here, Justin, and hopefully it's Austin.
Justin,
sorry.
Is his brother.
It's your brother, right?
Yes.
Who I met. I saw. I don't know that I met him. Hopefully your other manager, I don't think Jessica, I don't know if she's ever been.
Never.
Yeah. Well, you know, because if you're, you know, when you're gone on your around the world tour, you can have one of your assistant managers come in.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Something to look forward to. That's why you'll be listening to those board tapes.
Yes.
And board, I mean B-O-R-E-D. Okay. All right. So moving on, it is now 6:37, and the district administrator report.
Starting on page 40, I think you all have that page. I mentioned earlier that the recordings are all getting posted online. That's working out well. The McKinstry contract is ready to be presented. Michelle and I are going to meet on Thursday to go over it and develop a strategy on what we want to say to McKinstry. It's going to be necessary to have a meeting with a representative from McKinstry because there are four different kinds of contracts. The ongoing maintenance, of course, is the first. Then the second category has two parts. There's a routine repair of up to $2,500 or routine repair from $25,000 to $35,000. And the last category is emergency or urgent work. Since each of those contracts is different by nature, they have to be presented separately to McKinstry and explain why we're doing four different kinds of contracts as opposed to the old single contract that McKinstry provided to us long, long ago. The question of whether or not we want to include a retainage clause on all of the contracts was presented to Brian Snoer, and his recommendation is that we do include that, even though there's an overhead cost involved in the double billing that Christine would have to do. The protection is that if the company does not pay either its taxes, its employees, or any of its suppliers, we are off the hook. In other words, we would have some money to pay those effectively liens against the contractor if those amounts were not paid directly by the contractor. The alternative to that is that if we remove the retainage and it turns out that the contractor does not pay their suppliers, their employees, or their taxes, then those monies are our liability, and then we would have to sue the contractor to get that money back. And that would, the cost of doing that would far outweigh the cost of whatever overhead we incur from Christine doing a little extra billing work. So with that understanding, my question to the board is, do you approve of keeping the retainage clauses in all of our contracts?
Is this like a monthly thing that we're paying? Sorry, for the retaining clause.
Again, there's four different kinds of contracts. The ongoing maintenance with McKinstry is annual.
Uh-huh.
It's performed quarterly and paid quarterly with an annual renewal in the end of September. We haven't issued any of the other kinds of contracts because they haven't come up. Routine repairs that are not emergency or urgent based.
And those contracts will only be written up when those situations happen.
Written. All they have to do is be adapted with the fill in the blank information.
When that situation comes up, it's not something that we're waiting to do to preemptively take care of it.
Correct.
So, in some ways, that's a cost for those ones that we might not ever have. That's a regular cost. It's only for the routine maintenance one that we have to have that in.
Are you asking?
Well, cost-wise, right? how much is it, to have that?
Well, the retainage?
Right.
I don't know, has a conversation been held with Christine talking about what would be required for retainage and what work she would need to do, and was that costed out?
She mentioned it to me as that the fact would be that she would have to do some work. She did not do any cost analysis on what that would cost us. I'm sure it's my rough estimate is certainly maybe 2 hours of her time at the most.
Did you have any discussion with Christine about this? No. Okay. Well, certainly the pool needs to protect itself. I guess that if the first meeting is going to be with McKinstry, where you're going to be going all over going over these four contracts, it would be interesting to see what their initial feedback is. I would also be curious to know if, you know, what other pools do. What does Des Moines do? Do they do the retainage? Does Mount Si do the retainage? You know, certainly we need to protect our investment. We don't want to have to be, you know, paying out for somebody who hasn't paid their employees. But I also don't want to, you know, I mean, I think what this ends up doing is weeding out a lot of contractors that we might otherwise use, because we're going to have to, you know, make sure that whoever we're using is pretty much...
Well, or is there even, like, an overall thing, like, with our insurance that would cover something that we're not having to pay out to every single company that we do
insurance
a contract with?
Insurance doesn't cover contractual liabilities that could be covered by contract.
The school district uses McKinstry. I wonder.
I'm sorry, what?
So the school district falls under government like we do, right?
Yes.
And they use McKinstry for their HVAC.
Yes, they do.
I'm just curious as to what they do.
Well, I can't access this on my phone, but my sister works for the Bellingham School District, and they actually have a verbiage in their purchase order about like a 5% retainage that's automatic. It's just a line that's on the purchase order.
It's doubtful that McKinstry would object, because it is in the RCW and it is standard practice. Really, it's just a cost-benefit analysis on our part, I think.
So, I guess for the purposes of moving forward with, so from what I'm understanding you, Richard, you're saying that you and operations are going to meet, and you're ready to move forward with presenting the different contracts to McKinstry. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. I would think that you should just move forward with the verbiage that's already included. I think that some discussion needs to happen and make sure that Christine understands what her part in this is, because, I mean, she needs to be fully aware of it, because she's going to have to follow up with it. And I think we just, you know, take it one vendor at a time and see what happens. What do you think?
I don't disagree. This has been going on for a really long time.
Having the contracts?
What the going back and forth on the, you know, trying to get in the verbiage and everything in there. I think retainage, per the attorney's advice, it needs to be in there. I don't know how extended it needs to be, but, you know, I'm sorry that it's going to be more work for Christine, and that she does need to be made aware of that.
That's, instead of it's just annual stuff or quarterly, that's the contractors, and they're probably get pretty used to just being a part of the process.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not going to be like an extensive, like every single time it's going to take multiple hours to do. It's going to kind of set up what the system's going to be, and then every month she's just putting it in, or quarterly putting it in.
Okay, so go ahead.
Okay.
Are we still going to be able to present on Thursday? You and Michelle be able to get together? That's not going to hold up getting with McKinstry.
We haven't scheduled anything with McKinstry because I have to explain to Michelle all the provisions of the contract so that when she talks to McKinstry, she'll understand what to tell them.
And that's what you guys are doing on Thursday?
Right.
Okay.
And then we need to schedule an appointment with somebody from McKinstry.
And you're going to do that? Okay.
And the two of you aren't meeting with McKinstry, it's just you?
Well,
we haven't really discussed that.
Okay.
What's your feeling
the board isn't going to direct that. I think you guys can meet on Thursday and figure out what feels good, and then, you know, just go from there.
All right. The audit is moving along, believe it or not. There's a new auditor, Matt Hankins, and I sent him the materials that he asked for about the Steve Burke matter, and I'm just waiting to hear back whether or not he feels that that is sufficient. We don't have a lot of materials to give him about that.
Nope.
So basically, that's the answer.
Great.
So program committee has a scheduled meeting on...
Right, there's not going to be a leadership meeting on the 15th.
Okay, thank you.
And on the 30th or whatever.
29th.
Okay. So tomorrow I'll create the notices for the TPAC meeting, the marketing committee meeting, and the special event, which are coming on Saturday.
And the program.
And the program.
Oh, you already did the program.
Sure, I did. Didn't you?
Programming on the 15th?
Yes, that's already on.
Awesome. Okay.
Again, finance committee is scheduled for the 29th, so we know about that. The training with Hazel, Jerry already talked about. My list of upcoming projects, I think that the A is the highest priority, developing budget estimates for the line items that were assigned to me.
What line items were assigned to you? Is that just the district stuff?
Well, the district stuff we kind of already went through. The task that was assigned to you is for you and Michelle to work together regarding the operational side for the to put the numbers in. Because I believe that when we went through the budget, most of the stuff the district, we were able to put some of those numbers in. I think there was a couple that we still needed input from you for various things, and it was tasks that you and Michelle to work together also on the operations.
Right.
And Michelle, I believe you've tasked some of your assistants with some of that too, right? Brilliant.
Does that mean that I'll need to get those numbers from those people or from you?
No. It'll be like you didn't even know they came from someone else.
It'll come from you. All right. Then adapting the ORCA and McDonald Miller to our contract templates. I'm going to call Rico about renewing the lease of the copy machine from them, and then getting to work on the small and attractive assets log, working with Brandon Adams on the network reboot and troubleshooting issue, just so that there's a document that we can rely on.
Is that something that can just be offloaded to Brandon? I would think that he would be able to do that in his sleep.
I agree.
I'm just curious because it doesn't, I mean, I think that, you know, he drafts it and then it comes to the district and the district, you know, checks it out.
Sorry.
That's
okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, I sent three pieces of information to AWC. The contact there is Nate Sulia, and he's going to be working up a quote for what property and liability coverage would be if we were to go with that. The MRSC seminar on July 17th was covered the redesign of the website that they've done to streamline their services or the presentation of their services online. By the way, WCIA is also going through a redesign of their website. So not looking forward to plowing through that. There's a training coming up on August 21st from WCIA about new laws that were passed by the legislature that are going to impact all employers. There's very little left to discuss about the paid sick leave law. That's already been covered to death. But there's a couple of things. The Ban the Box initiative, I don't know if any of you have heard of it.
Yeah.
It's like a social movement of people who are trying to make it illegal for employers to ask on employment applications whether or not somebody has a criminal record.
Right, no, I'm familiar with that. I'm curious, though, this WCIA training on August 21st seems to be HR related. Is that correct? I mean, all this stuff looks like HR. Somehow, pregnancy accommodation, domestic violence accommodation. I wonder if they're even going to talk about the paid, not sick leave, but the family medical.
Family medical.
Yeah. It just seems like these are very heavy HR. Michelle, are these the kind of trainings that you either want to go to or send one of your people to? Because these are HR, and
yeah.
You're the one who has most of the, you have pretty much all of the employees.
Yes.
Unless it's stuff that, yeah. I mean, it's probably stuff we're going to have to change in the handbook, too. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. I don't know how I missed this one.
Okay. All right. So.
Okay. So it seems like this would be one for operations to attend.
I can do that.
Okay. Great.
I think it's only like 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And the last point, number 12, Brian Snoor was asked about the legality of soliciting donations, and his research resulted in what he wrote on pages 42 through 45, which are included as FYI to the board. So essentially, the answer is yes, with very few restrictions or limitations.
Okay, great. So I know that operations was looking forward to that. So go forth and conquer.
Well, don't we need the policy first?
Pardon?
Don't we need to have the policy in place?
We do
first?
Need to have the policy. So
a whole molasses.
Well, you can start on your letter.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get, just like you're doing with the volunteer stuff, you can get your stuff together, and then we can do the policy for donations. So we'll have to do a donation policy and a volunteer policy.
How can I find out about the what we were talking
sponsorship?
Sponsorship.
Oh, and we have to do that.
It is in the handbook. It's in the handbook. It's there. We have it.
Oh, we do.
It's in 511.
It's inside the letter.
Which is another point that I'd like to point out, Richard. That the 511 policy is inaccurate on the website. We just approved that at last month's meeting.
What is it? Is it?
It's showing a date of 2015. 511 wasn't passed at the last meeting. There's something in here about sponsorship.
What page is this on?
It's not. It's. You're not going to find
it. Oh, that's
it,
right.
The
it's
old one.
Crazy.
And I'm sorry. I wasn't expecting to have to
pull
it out.
That's okay.
But there was something that we could take revenue from sponsors.
Okay.
So it's.
So we need to revisit it.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. But it's from what I read, and maybe Vanessa or Ellen, Aaron, may correct me. From what I read in the policy, there's no issue.
Okay.
But we might just need to clarify it a little bit more from the research I did. So.
Okay. That's awesome. Good news.
And that concludes my report.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, it is
6:58. Aaron, did you want to just say anything briefly about the TPAC committee chair's report?
Over on the TPAC side.
On page 46.
Hi, Dave.
Well, I think so. The majority of the thing will be the attendance policy, which is kind of a broader thing. But there was a note in there with the two about the review of policy 540, which it wasn't, it looked like it was addressed in the pamphlet, but basically the part where the TPAC members liked the directive that was crossed out in the 3.1, the thought should be changed to any questions or special circumstances should be addressed to the District of Aquatic Operations or Board designee.
Uh-huh.
Which, anyways, but that section was basically cut out in there. So the suggestion from TPAC was that was re-put back into it, but being reworded in this format.
Okay.
So that was just like, that was one thing. And then the second was the classic thing, and also reviewed the 545 budget, changed the modifications, some of the TPAC numbers, also everybody reviewed, thought should be replaced with must.
Okay.
And in all fairness, it should have probably been added to the redline version, what TPAC had, because it was confusing to try to figure it out. Because I have it noted on the one that I have, that would have probably been very helpful for the board members to have that. Where, and especially on the 545, because it took me a while to find where must should go, but it looks like it's 2.3. I don't know that you guys had a marked up copy from TPAC.
I included both the Finance Committee and the TPAC RevTech versions in the packet.
Okay, I didn't see the TPAC RevTech version.
Did you put it all in the same?
They're one after another. Pages, okay, 51 is just 540.
Oh, okay, so 57.
53 and 54 is the Finance Committee version, and 55, 56 is the TPAC version.
Okay, well, that would have been helpful to know that, because I had to go through and try to figure it out.
I know.
Because it doesn't look, I didn't see any difference in from what I could see. And then on page 57, there is no redline version, because it looks like, not to jump ahead, 2.3 looks like the word should is still there, and that should say must. Because I took the black copy as being like the cleaned up copy from the red version.
Correct.
So it makes it difficult to approve something when it's not real clean. So the 52
I think there's also,
the black.
Yeah, now that in 4.02, 4.1, there's the shit on that one too.
No, this the one I have says must.
On 4.1.
On 4.1, I have a red text version where should's crossed out.
It
says
okay,
must.
On the other side here. Oh, and it says it on this one too. Okay.
So all I'm saying is there's a lot of documents in here that's very confusing.
Right.
Oh, well, yeah. On page 55, the TPAC version of the red text version does not include some of the changes that they recommended. It was just, I think they gave it back verbatim from what they were given.
So is it possible, I'm just going to ask, that we could get a clean copy with the markups that TPAC has for us to approve?
Well, I think,
because it seems there's a lot of different red texts, but this is coming
okay,
to us for
so
approval,
we're
right?
Going ahead, though. I understand your question, but we're not there yet.
Okay.
So we were just going over what TPAC, so let me just make sure that I understand. So TPAC, on the review of 545, they said that they want the should be placed with must. And is that on all of 545, Aaron, as far as we knew?
I think that was it, yeah.
So all the shoulds should be must. And on page 53, Richard, I'm seeing a light red where the should was crossed out and must is put in. Is that the TPAC must?
No, this was, it is, but it was done precognitively by the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee had the exact same idea and already
So this
made that change?
Came out after the TFAC with the Finance Committee already making the changes to should demotes.
Correct.
Okay, so the,
so the TPAC
so
didn't
like
see this version of it.
TPAC did not see the Finance Committee version.
Right, there's
well,
the should demotes or else.
No, because Vanessa sent it to them prior to the Finance Committee meeting.
So
no,
so I think
that's not my understanding, but I'm not going to get into
well, I mean, I think that we that TPAC did receive it, but I mean, obviously they didn't receive the version that had the should and the must changed out, or else they would make a suggestion
okay.
for it.
Yeah,
so since that has been modified in the version from the Finance Committees, so that it does say that, I think that it's appeasing what TPAC was wanting.
Yes, I understand that. Okay, so more discussion to come on the policies. As far as what's what, but it sounds like we understand what TPAC was requesting in 540 and 545.
Since the black text version is the approved Finance Committee version, and there's no difference between the TPAC version and the Finance Committee version in essence, then the black text versions are ready for the board to approve tonight. If
we're
going
to get to
that.
We're going to, we have marketing committee report and everything before we get to these approvals of policy. Okay, so it's 7:05 and welcome to Dave Pookie. Thank you for joining us. And we are now on the marketing committee report. Do we have anything that, and as I explained to our Director of Aquatics Operations, marketing is under the operations, but we do not expect a formal report. And anybody who attended a marketing meeting is free to report on anything that they remember, recall, or would like to bring to the attention of the board. So with that being said, I know that, Aaron, you had mentioned something about the upcoming event on the Family Fest, which I believe is...
Oh, I think we saw it. I just didn't read it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Michelle, I apologize.
Yes, I have it in my calendar.
Is that the 22nd? Why do
I... It is the 22nd from 5. I think it's at 5. I put 5 to 8, but I think it might be 5 to 7. This is Tukwila Kids at the Cascade View Community Park. And we talked about having volunteers there. And Aaron and Sharon said they might be able to go. And whoever's going out, of course, could give them some fun things to pass out for that. That's the next biggest event. And then as far as marketing goes, we didn't talk about this at the marketing meeting, but I did have the Coast Guard approach me about putting a banner up, and I don't think you know this. But,
we talked about it.
Okay, putting a banner up in the pool area to say that they... are sponsoring the pool, and it'll hang up. I show them exactly where it would go, and I have to give them statistics on how many people come to the pool, which I've already done, and how many swim lesson kids come, how many swim meets do we have, that kind of thing. And so they'll sponsor us and give us money for hanging the banner up. So I think that falls under marketing, maybe. Community outreach, something. That's basically it for marketing.
Is a question on the banner, they're going to give us money for that to utilize. Is that going to be a reoccurring like annual, or is it, how long does that make the banner stay up for?
It stays up for 1 year.
1 year?
Mm-hmm. And then we'll revisit if they're able to do it again the next year, if the government has the funds. He is going to have to submit a form to him. He just gave me a form like the Auburn City used. And so submit a form to him. He submits it to someone in D.C. and then they approve it. But he's asking for $1,000 for the banner. Whether we get the $1,000, I don't know. It might be $500, but whatever it is, it'll be awesome.
Maybe $5,000?
Yeah, I don't know.
And there's a flash banner.
They supply the banner. I have to see it, approve of it first, okay. Of course. I told them the size of the banner. I already measured it and said what would fit there.
Where would it go?
So it's going to go down near the starting blocks because they want the high school kids to really focus on it because, you know, of course, they want high school. It's going to go between our diving board holes and our danger no breath holding sign. So it's going to go right there.
Okay. All right. 7:09, Programming and Outreach Committee. There is a meeting tomorrow.
Correct.
Wednesday.
August 15th.
Correct.
And I think Richard put 5 o'clock now, but I was thinking they were doing it at 5:30.
I don't know what time.
We've been doing it at 5:30, though, right?
Because Christine knew first.
Okay.
Right. So 5:30. And 5 o'clock is nearly impossible for me to make it. Not that I don't love volunteering my time. So mostly we talked about some of the gender STEM stuff and kind of see what we can do to keep promoting that, and we were kind of excited about the increased number for Thursday nights. And so we talked about coming in there, like, when I go out and next Thursday after we have a programming meeting, just to kind of see what kind of programming outreach we could do with the people that are coming in on men's only night, to see what kind of program they'd like to maybe be able to see also, which I don't know, maybe we could also discuss some more of that too this last Thursday. But we talked about grants, and then we also talked about also, like, with some of the programming, looking at finding the metrics and the measurements for that. And I think Michelle is going to start looking at measuring per program how many people were coming in for.
You already started the separate key thing, right?
Yeah, we started that
like the next day.
The idea was to start it August 1st, but we started it in July. Like, literally, I think we met on Wednesday. I think it was ready by Friday, maybe. So now we have it where we're trying to, you know, measure how many people are coming for lap swim and how many people are coming for water aerobic. I mean, water walking, and how many people are coming for family swim and how many people are coming for lap swim. So right now, if someone comes in, to say if Dave Pookie comes in to lap swim when there's family swim going on, it's before. It was just telling me how many people were in the building. We don't know if he was lap swimming or if he was doing family swim. So for us to see how well is family swim doing, how many people are coming for family swim, mm-hmm. how many people are coming for lap swim, we have to separate it out in the system. Mm-hmm. So we have it all separated out. So when someone comes in, I mean, like, we know Dave swims laps, but...
Oh, question. What happens if you're doing both of them in the same visit?
That's something we can't measure. We can't measure whether you do that. He does do that.
Days a week?
Yeah. That is something we can't measure. If they tell us family swim, they're going on their family swim. If they do end up jumping over like this one does in lap swim, I think he's being counted as a lap swimmer. So if they do switch, then there's really
so there's a margin of error, which we knew would happen.
Right.
And the same problem with, you know, passes.
Yeah, because prior, the only thing we could truly measure was open swim and teen night, because that was the only, when there's open swim, there's nothing else going on. There's not lap swim, there's not water walking, you know, right. Some people do. So in order to truly give you guys the numbers that you asked for, how many people are coming at 5 o'clock in the morning to lap swim, and how many of them are lap swimming, and how many of them are water walking, I can tell you, because it's the same people every time.
Right.
But that's me telling you versus you seeing.
Well, hopefully more people will be coming, and it'll be hard for you.
The only time that, yes, and the other marginal error that you were talking about was that when someone uses a pass. Because
right.
The pass is getting them in. It doesn't tell us if they're lap swimming or family swimming. But I can give you some numbers and more numbers than what you were asking for before. I mean, we do have, we can say, we can, like, there's a report in here that tells us how many people scanned in.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you, it's going to be better numbers than what I have right now. Is it going to be completely accurate? Absolutely not.
Right.
But even the scanned in ones, I mean, those, like, that we can say, well, people scanned from 5:45 till
But if you want
1
to know
o'clock,
if there are lapse
then those
water,
are only
okay.
going to be people that are coming in for lapse swim and or water.
Okay, seriously.
So
it's
not
a
just
small margin of
it.
Right,
is.
I mean, and in some ways it's like we're open during that time period for both of those. So.
The time that is different is like at night. So like right now, we have family swim. We have a lot of people coming in for family swim right now that we have to put a cap on every night. And then we've got a lot of people lap swimming. So right now is when, like when Chet and them come in and scan in and they're lap swimming. I know they're lap swimming, but we, you guys don't, when we run the report.
That's okay.
But yeah.
We knew that. Yes.
I'm taking advantage, just to clarify for the board, I've taken advantage of having my granddaughter for the summer. So we arrive at the pool 45 minutes before her lesson, and we do family swim so that she can get acclimated and practice a little bit. We can do some things. And then she then goes for another purpose, which is her lesson every morning, and then I go and swim laps. So we're serving, two people are serving two purposes on a daily basis, Monday through Friday, while lessons are running.
That's
so,
great.
He's
reading
our numbers at least.
So Dave Pookie, margin of error. No, I'm sure there are other people.
There
well.
Are.
There are other people.
And that's fine. I mean, as long as, you know, programming and outreach will have a schedule of what's going on. So when they're looking at 5:45 to 8 o'clock, they'll know, okay, so there's lap swimming going on. There's also water walking. We know there isn't family swim at that time or whatever. So they can, you know, make an educated guess.
Yes.
And that's all we can do. Mm-hmm. Which,
yeah.
Thank you so much for
putting
that in.
It's better to have some sort of number to base off of than no number.
Right. It's a good start.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good start.
And that has already started.
Okay.
And then the other thing we talked about, was, like, which we discussed just now, was about vendors being able to do donations and sponsorships and that sort
yes.
of stuff. Mom, those ones. And then just like between, I think, like teen night and with like some of the other like family nights and gender swim, you know, having kids that are underage and they're without any sort of parental supervision, and just like, you know, do we need to give like an age limit on that? That's a little better for, you know, people that are in the pool without supervision versus actually physically in the pool, you know, in the building still. And like, is there a number of how many kids are we allowed to have in there with one adult looking over them?
So this again seems to be an operations question. So if operations would want to have the board set a policy, then operations needs to bring that to the board and you know, let us know. We can talk about it in programming and outreach a little bit if we want to, but I know that that has definitely been a topic and things that other pools have addressed. So. I did want to ask, though, Austin, were you at Single Gender Swim last week?
Yes, I was.
And how did that go? Did you have this group of kids come in?
We did not have a huge group at all. In fact, I think we had a total of 5 people the entire night for our
initial swim. Wow, so that was a lot less than we had the week before.
So the week that we had the 2 incident reports, they haven't been back since then.
Right, but I do know that the week that you and I were there, and also the week that Aaron was there, Mr. Yaya was also there and seems to know these kids and all that. So, you know, it'll be interesting because school, at least Chuckwell School, starts on the 5th, and I'll be curious to see how attendance is because that kind of runs a little late.
It does, yeah, 18:30.
For kids, but yes. I know you get a lot of, you... We also got adults at that time, too, so. Okay, so is that it for my programming?
That's it.
Jerry? No? Oh. Okay, great. All right, so it's 7:17, and the next thing is old business items, Commissioner per diem. So let me just tell you where I'm at with this. Confused and conflicted. At our last meeting, you may recall that I brought it up and I was tasked with going through and making definitions, and I sat down yesterday to do so and was just totally at a loss as to how to define and what to define. Because if we only define meetings as where actions, so a meeting is where an action can occur,
then that would be the finance committee meeting. It would be board meetings. It would not be special. It would not be what we call special meetings, which are basically we had quite a few special meetings under Jerry when we had a lot of turnover and we're having to meet all the time. So I am at a loss as to how to move forward on this. And am willing to hear any ideas if any of my fellow commissioners have any.
Commissioner, I think, kind of going back to the last meeting where we discussed if actions are being taken at a meeting, that, you know, actions during a special meeting, and there's like separate definitions between saying maybe a special meeting and a special meeting with actions being taken, that was kind of more of a deciding factor. And then that with the clause that finance committee, you know, being a standing committee, that we know that actions will be taken there, was a separate entity of it. And that's all I have to say about that. I think that the, you know, part of the thing is, like, I think that if we're going to have a meeting that we can consider a special meeting, that we're going to, and said somewhat of a time thing, but at the same, we could have a meeting where we're coming in and we're discussing stuff for an hour, and we end up taking an action and voting on whatever the item might be that we're having a special meeting about. And, you know, we're making that as what you want to be under per diem to have.
I don't think voting can take place at a special meeting.
I don't believe so either.
Okay. Well, I thought that's with some of the ones previously that there have been.
Votes can be taken if at special meetings, if the meeting was noticed to the public and there's a quorum.
Well, aren't all special meetings have to be noticed to the public?
That's up to you. I mean,
when there's going to be a quorum, yes, they have to be noticed.
Right. Okay. So let's just use an example of when we had a special meeting, Jerry. So we had a special meeting what did we have a special meeting for?
Well, we had a special meeting for director of the district administrator. It was considered a special meeting because we were doing interviews.
Okay.
And all the commissioners were present.
Right. So we weren't doing, we weren't taking any action, but mm-hmm. we were doing interviews.
What about for the special meeting? I mean, very little thing, but when there was a special meeting for the paint color choices for the mural,
correct.
That
was another special meeting.
That was actually an action was taken at that one, though.
Right. As example.
I mean, people voted.
But that was like an under 10-minute meeting.
Right.
Right. And so that's
the conversation that came up at the last meeting.
Right. Right. Okay. So kind of where I'm coming down on this, quite honestly.
The October 23rd special meeting was the budget resolution meeting.
Right, which was just a few minute meeting, right?
No, that was November 29th.
Oh, okay. I know there was just a short meeting somewhere. Okay, so I guess where I'm coming down, and maybe it'll just be a straw man to throw up there at our next meeting since I'm not ready for it tonight, we don't have a resolution, is just to say, you know what, screw it. We're gonna whatever meeting, you know, the RCW limits the amount commissioners can get. Commissioners don't have to accept money if they don't want to. But it seems to me be far easier to just not try and define, at least since I'm doing the work. than it would be to try and define. So I guess that's kind of where I'm coming down, and we can hash it out next time and see what the board wants to do. Okay, great. Moving on. Yes?
For next month's agenda, is that going to be an item that's being tabled until next month?
Yes, tabled.
Okay.
Tabled. Mm-hmm. Okay, it is now 7:23. And we're going to talk about financial policies 540 and 545 under new business items. Okay, and here I had a question because I was confused.
So I am seeing, page 50 is the memo. And then on page 51, I'm seeing red line version of 540. And then on 52, I'm seeing a black version. And am I to, so the black version has already taken the changes that were redlined out?
Correct.
And so I'm seeing the finished version on page 52 of 540.
Correct.
And in on page 53, again, redlined version. And just to be very clear, okay, so 53, 54, 55, and 56 are all 545. 57 is the cumulative version of those four pages as a black line with the changes already.
Yes. Except scratch in 2.2, the word budget, which is already crossed out. Just consider that as...
Okay, I'm sorry, let me go back. On page 53, what's the difference between page 53 and page 55?
Page 53 is the Finance Committee version.
Okay.
Page 55 is the TPAC version.
Okay, and for 540, we didn't have that.
Correct. For 540, there was no TPAC redline version.
Okay.
Right, there was just a suggestion to not take out and leave in the last sentence area in here. Where it was like...
Right. Okay.
Any questions or special circumstances should be addressed by the district accountant. And TPAC's suggestion on that was have it returned back into 3.1, and it should be any question or special circumstances should be addressed to the District of Aquatic Operations or board designee.
Okay. Let's take these one at a time. Is there a motion? Aaron, could you make a motion to approve?
Commissioner Schmidt makes a motion to approve 540 refunds and reimbursements for the finance.
Okay. That would be the black line version that appears in the packet on page 52. Okay, I will second that if I can. Okay, discussion? Discussion.
Just discussion, just because I want to be clear here. Because I had it that 3.1 would be after deposit to the district deposit account. The TPAC recommendation was any questions or special circumstances should be addressed to the Director of Aquatic Operations or board designee. And I don't see that on the black copy.
Correct. I don't either. I forget, Richard, you might have already answered this. What did TPAC get to review?
I think TPAC got the 540 with the redline version.
Okay, where we took out that?
Where this was all taken out, redline, and TPAC's suggestion was that, say, basically the last sentence of that was re-added back in.
You were at that, right? You were
correct.
At that. Okay. Jerry, were you at that meeting or not? You were not. Okay. Because I read this and I understand why it wouldn't have been added back in. And I just like your impression since you were at that meeting. Because this isn't really, you know, I mean, okay, it's one thing if, you know, a patron comes to Michelle and Michelle says, no, I'm sorry, you don't get reimbursed for that because, you know, whatever reason, and they want to complain. That isn't what this clause is about. This clause is about the bar's account number. So I don't know that, you know, I don't know why it would be necessary to have
that, you know, the question part of the clause in this on 3.1. Any thoughts on that?
I guess my thoughts are just, you know, if there is a special circumstance, you know, is there anything possible that could ever come up that would become a special circumstance that we would have to, you know, or for the district?
Well, it's...
The director of operations would have to relook at what it is and kind of question the process.
Because it's not clearly just the bar. I mean, it is the refund and reimbursement procedure, which starts out with all refunds in check or cash form will be sent to, and it's actually then going into the fact that it ensures the correct bars, it's coded correctly.
Right, so it seems like on page 51, the original, which has now got a red line through it, talks about the King County, you know, that the refund and reimbursement will then be processed and deposited into the district's deposit account. This 3.1 is talking about the procedure for refund and reimbursement. It is not talking, so it's just basically talking about the BARS code. It's not really, it's step three in a three-step process. And this doesn't at any point really address what is and is not refundable or reimbursable. So, I mean, unless we've got mega accountants on TPAC who are very interested in the BARS account code, which is what 3.1 addresses, I don't know that. I mean, I guess, would it hurt anything to have it in there? Well, not necessarily, except for it sets a precedence of saying, well, anytime you have any questions, just contact so-and-so. And then it's like, well, then do we really actually need to have that in every policy? Because, you know, at some point somebody might have a question. But I kind of think that, I mean, my own opinion is that 540 is pretty clear, and I can't imagine... I can definitely imagine people having issues with what do I get a refund for, which is really not addressed in here at all.
Which it should be, because it's a refunds and reimbursement policy.
Well, it possibly, so the purpose of the policy is to make sure that monies received as refunds and reimbursements are credited to the right expense category. I mean, there might be another policy that talks about these are appropriate expense categories. Like, you know, just because your child ended up being allergic to whatever chemical we use. You know, I mean, this is not like a customer-centered
policy. But then it needs to be renamed, I think, because I think that's misleading when it's called refunds and reimbursements.
Yeah, and I definitely see what you're saying.
Because, I see both sides. I just think that that's just deceiving. If a customer was to want to... questions about a refund and reimbursement, they pull up 540. It's not real clear, so maybe it's a matter that needs to be renamed.
Is there a sort of policy for refunds and reimbursements to the public?
Yes, there is. I need to figure out where it's out there, but I have it at the pool. So it's basically, it was there, I didn't create this, obviously, this was something that was already there, but I think it's on our website as well, but so if someone purchases like a yearly pass and they move out of state or move somewhere where they can't use it, then it's like a proration. We haven't really had that before, but it's like a proration of the reimbursement. They move and they can't use it. And then if, say, for swim lessons, if a child breaks their arm and they have a doctor's excuse saying they can't get in the pool, then the doctor's excuse, we don't do a refund. We'll do a credit on their account, so it says that on there.
Which actually might be a procedure.
And that's in 20 admissions and refunds. That's okay. Where that is. So
okay.
Those have refunds there.
So this is a 540, which I believe the fives are financial policies. So I don't know that.
It's a different section, basically.
So it sounds like the 300s are more customer related, mm-hmm. and the 500s are finance related.
So for the sake of someone looking this up on our website, should we change the way this is?
Well,
so they don't get confused.
It should say clearly. And so if I'm interested in refunds and I'm a customer and I'm interested from that, well, first of all, you know, if you've got a customer looking at policies, they know a little bit of something. So they're going to look at operational policies. They're not going to look at financial policies unless they're an audit trying to go, okay, did they put the right bars code in that, you know, in that hand breaking or, you know, person who moved thing.
Yeah.
So I think we're okay. I don't know. What do you think, Jerry?
Well, our website's not called out that way. I mean, it's not program, it's operations.
Okay.
Like if you were just to hit search for refunds and reimbursements, where that chance is going to pop up.
Administrative or whatever, I mean, it would be, I think that it could be confusing. I mean, it's confusing to me, and I actually helped do this redline version. Uh-huh. I mean, when I see refunds and reimbursements, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. But 320 is the first one you're going to come across on the website, admissions and refunds, but then if they go further, you're right, who's going to be looking?
Well, no, but you make a good point. I mean, we obviously need to have the policies with a table of content that clearly says, you know, operations, you know, whatever. I mean, that is standard for policies.
Right.
There's a hierarchy of policies. And so if somebody's interested in employment policies, that's, you know, personnel in the district, those are 5,000. So, you know. So I think that, okay, so that's a different topic, though. So it seems clear, and Richard, you need to make a note of this, that we need to review the way that policies are presented on our website so that we can make sure that we have a table of contents, maybe some instructions for people who are interested. And that way, everybody can use the same vernacular. I mean, Michelle, if she has an angry customer, is like, ah, I want my, you know, she can say, okay, well, let me show you where it is in our policies, and, you know, and then that's not going to make them happy. So then, you know, I mean, we have to, you know, we want to make customers happy, and we need to follow policies. So, all right, so if we address that, then what do we think of 540? Is there any more discussion on 540?
So we don't want to think about changing the name of it. Because we're going to do the outline on the website that's going to say this is more for financial, 540s or financial policies.
540 would designate that it is a financial policy. So, but it needs to be clear on the website. Just like, you know, like the next thing we're going to look at is also a 5. So that's another financial policy. We're looking at financial policies. But
yeah, that makes sense.
Needs to be very clear to anybody who's, you know, visiting the website that, you know, oh, I'm interested in employment. Okay, I need to look at this number. Oh, I'm interested in operations. I need to look at this. So, yeah.
I just think it should be called different. To me, budget change and modifications definitely is finance. But refunds and reimbursements, it seems, maybe it needs to be more like an accounting, bars coding, refund and reimbursement. I don't know. I don't have the verbiage to put into place for it.
Okay. I understand what you're saying. Thoughts?
I tend to kind of agree. I'm having my hand a little bit.
Okay, so kind of what I'm hearing is that at this point, I think we need to throw this back to the Finance Committee. And the Finance Committee needs to take a look at numbering and how things are arranged, and if they want to put something, you know, maybe 540, financial policy refund, or whatever they want to do. So I'm going to say that that's also going to be true of, well, maybe not. All right, so you want to take back your motion?
I rescind my motion.
Rescind? Okay. I rescind my second. All right, no movement on that. All right, so now I guess we can chat about 545. Okay, and so in this, just to be clear again, page 53 is the Finance Committee Red version, page 55 is a TPAC version, page 57 is a black version with everybody's comments incorporated. Richard, is that correct?
No, just the Finance Committee.
Okay, so the Finance Committee only. Sorry?
I didn't have time to incorporate the TPAC changes.
Okay.
So that's 50.
I'm sorry, so 53 and 54 is Finance Committee.
And then 55 is TPAC, with how many changes made to it?
Well, no, 55, does 55 not have TPAC changes? I thought 55 was the TPAC changes.
That's right.
It looks the same, though.
Right, I couldn't find any differences between the Finance Committee version and the TPAC version except for the use of the word should versus must. And since the Finance Committee already changed should to must,
right.
I didn't see any reason to do anything
but
other
we did
than
not.
The black version.
I'm sorry, what's your question, Jerry?
Because the black version 57, my understanding is the modified changes with TPAC and the Finance Committee, correct?
Right, because, well, that would be true, because TPAC didn't have any changes, so it was basically the same as the Finance Committee, so they should be identical.
Because 2.3, budget emergencies, says should be considered, and I'm thinking that
is
what they want to say must.
I don't think that's that part of it.
Of which version?
Of all three versions.
All three versions.
I did see that too.
I'm sorry. Okay, so we're looking on page 57, 2.3, first line. Budget emergencies should be considered only to relieve a serious health. And Jerry, you're saying that TPAC said they want all the shoulds to musts. Is that correct?
That's my understanding from what I saw, yes.
Erin, you were at that meeting?
Because it was under, and it was hard to understand because under 2.0, because they hadn't called out their budget changes and modifications. So I took that falls under 2.0, budget changes and modifications.
Correct.
Which were the
2.3 the whole thing is budget changes and modifications.
Right. So that's what I...
So, but for example, on... So, if...
But I think that 2.3, I mean, just... My opinion on that one is a little bit different. Where should does seem to make more sense there. That it's.
What about 4.1? Following procedures should be used for budget changes or must be used for. Is that what? I'm unclear on what TPAC was.
And 4.1.2 still has the word should in there.
Right, so I'm not sure where the shoulds were supposed to change to must.
In 4.1.1. So the first three are incorrect.
Okay, so it looks like this one has some questions as well, and it looks like this needs to be brought back to TPAC to get some clarity on what they meant by which should be must. How does that sound?
I think that would make sense.
I can't speak for that because...
Okay, well, there's a meeting this Saturday, so we'll...
Okay. And I guess it would be helpful if TPAC or I don't know how else, or they give the related should, must, whatever to Richard to get it one.
Yeah, just give one.
One clean to
just have a copy to him.
Well, why don't we, what if we take the current page 57, 58, black version, give it to TPAC, and say, what do you want changed?
Yeah.
Okay, then that's what we'll do. Richard, please have. I don't know, 10 of those printed out. All right, so
we're... On that, do we know who is coming from the board?
Me.
You.
Sorry, I'm not
changing. I am at the meeting, so we will be going through it.
Okay.
All right, great. So, that was fun. All right. Are you having a good time over there, Austin?
I am.
Awesome. Okay, it is now 7:42, and we're moving to bookkeeper job description. All right, and this was from the Finance Committee. So, Jerry, I'll let you talk about it.
This is my first time presenting. I don't know, do I just go right into the... Well, the issue is, should the TPMPD update the bookkeeper job description and compensation? Obviously, it's very clear the financial impact is over budget, $22.75 for the remainder of 2018. The background, the TMD has been self-hiring for daily bookkeeper duties since mid-2016. versus a function of an assistant manager's job description, and most recently as a separate position. The TPMPD has success with the position being a part-time job. Our current bookkeeper has been employed since October 2016. The discussion that the Finance Committee had, and it's listed here, is that the bookkeeper has taken on, job description has changed. Doing the voucher preparation, scholarship funding and tracking, creating and maintaining cash management, accounts receivable and accounts payable, audit training, audit assistance with the state auditor, attendance at Finance Committee meetings, prevailing wage vendor compliance, and budget report creation, which is a lot more work than what was signed on to work for her part-time. The recommendation that, I guess I better go to that part too. So a comparison was performed, substantially similar jobs in the area, and Finance Committee found jobs offering ranges from $18 to $21 to start. The current TPMPD wage scale has a starting wage of $15.50 an hour. The Finance Committee determined, consistent with previous job position wage determinations, that a midpoint range would be approximately $19.50 for a Step A, with a dollar hour step increase in accordance with established TPMPD policy. It is the recommendation that the Board of Commissioners approve the updated bookkeeper job description. And then the blue text.
Blue line?
The blue line text.
We is, like is our
the, is the updated job description. Along those lines, too, which I don't show that it's on here, there was discussion of benefits for this position, which is in the job description.
It's on page 62.
I'm sorry?
It's in the job description.
Yeah, it's in the job description for the to now offer benefits, approximately 20 hours a week, that equals the 15% gross hourly wage up to the max of 40 hours per week.
Okay. All right, I make a motion that we accept this new bookkeeper's job description. We approve the updated bookkeeper job description. Who would like to second?
Commissioner Frantella Anderson seconds.
Okay. All right, discussion. I have a question. So I'm not exactly sure what this would mean in regarding our current bookkeeper. I mean, I understand that this would be her new position.
Right.
This would be the description. But where does that mean that she would fall on the wage scale? Or is that not?
She would fall, she would be bumped up to 1950.
But 1950 was the beginning wage, wasn't it?
So she would actually be the 2050. I think she step B. The starting step A is the 1950, so she's, I believe she's step B.
I don't know how many years she's been doing this.
It's 2016.
October 2016, which means that she'd actually be step C in 2 months.
She'd be a step C, right.
Yeah.
At 2050.
So on the job description on the back page, on page 62, it's not blue on the wage, it says 1550 an hour. Wouldn't that need to change?
Yes, excellent point.
So, Richard.
Okay, so I think that when you say wage, either, and I don't know, I don't have any other job descriptions in front of me, so either we start with the starting wage or we give the range or whatever, but we need to follow whatever.
Correct. Which I think since this said wage, that's what we've been doing.
So, right, so then you're right, it would be 1950. Okay.
Good pitch.
So when you guys calculated the change in the budget for the rest of the year, do you know what wage you guys were calculating it under?
1950.
Well, that wouldn't be correct.
Did we go down that? Did we actually put that in the budget at this point? Is it penciled in? I don't know.
It's just on page
59.
You guys said that over budget would be the
2018, right?
Yeah, but I was just wondering at what wage
I don't recall. Okay. I don't recall, and I don't know that we, if it was added.
It wouldn't be a lot of change.
Vanessa produced this.
Right. Yes. So it wouldn't be a huge difference over that, just because you're talking 20 hours a week for the rest of the year. So it wouldn't be a lot more than that, but I was just curious. So would you guys be able to approve this with that correction on the back, knowing that, or do you have to present this as a corrected version before you approve it?
No, we can do it. We can make corrections and approve the corrections. Okay, so far we've noted that a correction needs to be made on page 62 with the $15.50 per hour change to $19.50.
Sorry, just to kind of continue Michelle's conversation there. So depending on, like, I presume there's probably like a little slight discrepancy on what the price would be for the added to the 2018 budget, but is that number also including the 15% on top of that too?
It should be, yes. I didn't put it together. Vanessa put it together. So I do not know. I do not have the answer to that question.
Well, whether or not when it was calculated, Vanessa recognized that Christine, this particular person we are talking about, in her particular, so if we went and hired a new bookkeeper, then the starting wage is $19.50, and I believe there is some buffer for the management to consider bringing somebody in a step ahead, depending. I know it's much clearer with lifeguards because they have certain tests and they get bumped up. But let's just say that you had a bookkeeper who, you know, had a CPA and worked for 20 years, and, you know, so that might constitute an experienced person who you might bring up at a higher level than a step one. However, so since we're talking about a particular person who already exists on the salary schedule in a particular step, then whether or not that was calculated in what the impact might be on the budget is, it's really kind of a moot point because she would need to come in at the step she's in. Since she's been doing this position, it's not like she starts over. That, what do you think of that? Okay.
I have a question. Isn't that $2,275, isn't that the additional budget impact through December 31st of this year?
Correct.
So it's just going to be that much more than in wages and compensation section of the budget.
So if Vanessa calculated at $19.50, an hour,
she did by my math, because she's even got the numbers filled in right on that. So it looks like she included all of that. The new 1950 step A rate for the bookkeeper is acknowledged in the chart, so it's been updated.
Oh no, yeah, this chart has absolutely been updated.
Right.
But so they it looks like what the finance committee did is they took a look at similar positions, mm-hmm. and said, okay, well, it looks like the positions range from $18 to $21 to start, and since we don't start at the bottom, we're going to start at $19.50, which is great, and that's exactly what her chart shows. However, when you're talking about placing a person who's already in the position who's at a different step, they would just need to be brought up to the step that they're in.
Right.
Okay. And whether or not Vanessa calculated at the 22, whatever she came up with, right, for the remainder of the year, if she did that at the 1950, then that money will actually be increased. And so we're probably, you know, I don't know, talking about, I'm sure it'd still be under 3,000.
And it does include the benefits, which I would imagine that she did include.
Right, yeah, so it's negligible, quite honestly.
Variance would be under $600 additional,
you
know, based on $1 an hour for 20-hour week for the balance of the year.
Yeah. Okay, all right, so I think we all understand. Okay, and then let's just look at that part about the benefits. Our benefits include family use of the facility, an allowance equal to 15%. So question on the family use of the facility.
that's good for everything but like Christine's classes, Kristen's classes. Because those are actually paid or not. I don't know. I know it didn't include Flipboard, but Flipboard was different than what the way you're using Kristen.
Meaning, is she paying for if she comes to the Water Rivers class?
Yeah, that's my question.
I don't think she is, but I don't.
Well, no, I'm not saying now does she.
Right.
I'm not. So, but like when we had Flipboard, that was a class that Kristen actually.
Yeah, we had nothing to do with.
Right. Okay, so if we have nothing to do with it, which we're not doing any of those right now, but if we were to go again, then she would have to pay that amount. But everything else, she's good to go.
With the program
lessons for the kids.
Right, any programming that the pool offers, either through our own instructors or instructors that we've contracted with, that aren't a pay-as-you-go. Yes?
I think I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I think okay. Okay, I just wanted to make sure that it was clear, which obviously I did not, but anyway. Okay, and then so up to a maximum of, is that 40 or negative 40? I'm so confused. It's 40? Okay, 40 hours per week to be used at the employer's discretion for medical, dental, childcare, and or retirement plan. I think she's got a parenthesis there, and there's no other parentheses. That's a problem. Paid vacation, sick leave, floating holidays, and merit increases. And I believe that this has changed because of our inability of paychecks at this point to do a cap of 40 and a cap of 20 or 25 or whatever other caps you want to
without
set.
Without upgrading the system.
And we don't have the
we don't have the information on that.
We don't have the information on that.
So that this was, it's kind of a workaround at this point.
Okay.
It was a suggestion at the finance meeting to be able to call it out as a separate line item at a wage rate, but according to Vanessa, that couldn't be done. We'd still have to do the upgrade.
Okay. I'm just concerned if we do the upgrade, does that mean we have to go back and change everything? I mean, is there any verbiage that we can use here that will require us to?
No.
Okay. All right, so so it looks like there's a couple of changes. 1950, we need to change this under the benefits to
remove the parentheses.
Just remove that end parent. Okay, Richard, do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's going to say up to a maximum of 40 hours per week. Okay, is that? Those are the only changes?
That I can see.
Okay. Okay. And I'm sure that the Finance Committee did their due diligence and all of that, right?
I would agree.
Okay. So we have, so do we want to rescind. I rescind my original motion because we're going to. I would like to make. Will you rescind your second? Thank you. I'd like to make a new motion. Okay, sorry.
Sorry.
I'd like to make a new motion to adopt this policy with changes of wage at $19.50 per hour and the formatting changed in the benefit part. Somebody like to second that?
Oh, Commissioner Frangiello, just a second.
Okay. Any more discussion? Okay. And Richard, do you have those changes?
Yes.
Okay. So all those in favor of the motion as discussed with the two changes, say aye.
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 Opposed? Great. Okay. It is 7:58, and we're moving on to wage scale update.
I have a question. Since you guys just approved this, when does this go into effect?
Immediately.
So not we're not going back. We're going just forward, right? We're going to say
correct. There's no retro.
As of today?
As of tomorrow.
If
she's working at 7:58, she can clock in and get the new thing. As of tomorrow, she has them.
Tomorrow.
Right.
Okay.
So you need to do the change.
Right.
Let me know if you need anything signed. You can just initial me. All right. Okay, so this one is the also from the Finance Committee, update of 2018 wage scale. Okay, so it's just, Jerry, any thoughts on this?
Well, let's present, we'll see, it's confusing because it goes so far. She has it at 64. Because we were referencing it to the bookkeeper, but it's also being referenced. Helps it doesn't, I didn't write this, but currently does not include the rate paid to instructors for private lessons nor the updated bookkeeping rate, which we just now approved. So now
we have the updated bookkeeper.
The bookkeeper compensation is updated, the wage scale still updates accordingly. The director of aquatic operations informed the finance committee that the instructors were historically paid 1.5 times their regular rate when instructing private lessons, and that's why we've added that in.
Oh, I see, the instructor.
Instructing private lessons.
Okay.
So that was thus the correction update to the 2018 wage scale.
Okay. Michelle, a question for you?
Yeah.
Okay, so on this page, which I know you're looking at, instructor training non-lifeguard. So that's if you're training a instructor to be a swim instructor, is that correct?
Yes, this is before they become certified and they are in the water training to become a swim instructor.
To become a swim instructor. Okay, and then instructor private lesson. So this is somebody who is teaching a private lesson.
This is someone who is certified,
uh-huh,
who's gone through their training, and has been approved to teach private lessons.
Okay, and different than just an instructor in a non-private lesson.
Correct.
So why does, because, so, if you're an instructor and you're teaching one kid and you're at step A, you're getting $19.50 an hour?
Yes, they normally take, the lessons are 30 minutes, so
uh-huh,
they're actually... If they magically get scheduled back to back, a lesson back to back, then they would be getting $19.50 for the hour. But the lessons are for 30 minutes. So this was already here, and I didn't make this up, but every facility I've been to, private lessons get paid.
So how do you?
So what you do is, say if someone's supposed to teach a private lesson,
uh-huh,
and they're supposed to just teach one, they're only at the facility for 30 minutes. So it compensates them for coming in and teaching a 30-minute class versus being there for more than 30 minutes. But also, we charge more money for private lessons.
So do you usually just schedule, I'm just curious, do you usually just schedule somebody, if they're teaching a private lesson, to come in and just teach that one private lesson? Or do you have them scheduled for maybe like an hour and they teach the private lesson and then they teach regular?
Yeah, it depends on the person's availability. So there are some private lessons who they say they can only do Sundays at 11 o'clock. Well, there's a swim instructor doesn't have any other classes during that time. They'll be coming into the facility, just teach a 30-minute class and going home. Private lessons are based on when the customer can do it, and of course when the pool's open and when we can get an instructor to come in. There are some lessons that happen on Friday afternoons, Saturday afternoons, you know, it just depends on when they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
We had one today at 12:30, so it just kind of depends on.
Yeah, generally when somebody does private lessons, do they tell you who they want their instructor to be, or
no? A lot of times these are people who. So it depends.
Okay.
A lot of times these are people who just want a private lesson. They don't want to do group lessons.
Sure.
They're not interested. So sometimes they don't request, but sometimes we do get requests for a certain instructor, especially if. So we had an instructor who went back to her country, home country in Ethiopia, and she's gone for a long time. And we have people who only want her. So they had her before she went, and now she's back. Like, we only want this one person.
Okay.
So then we try to work that around.
Okay.
All right. I'm a little bit more important because I've actually done a couple private lessons with my granddaughter years ago before she was really water acclimated. the best way. You know, she was a clinger when she jumped into the pool, so she wasn't good around other people. So I did several private lessons. The other thing was odd times. I only had certain times available to get her into a lesson when the pool was open, and they could do it. They are quite a bit more money. I think it was paying $30 a lesson.
$30 for 30 minutes.
Okay, all right, that's great.
$30 a lesson for it. But what I wanted was that water acclimatization at a time that I could make sure that I would have it there. And so that's that's the need that it fills. And it's really good for kids that are just starting out, or kids that struggle, or might be autistic.
Mm. Well, I was thinking that too. Special needs is where private lessons are really important. Basically, when I was at the Y, 75% private lessons for special needs kids.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. It would be so disruptive in a regular lessons program for somebody that's ADD or autistic or struggling with acclimatization to water. Then once we got her into the water and got her acclimated, then it went normally after that. But I had to do the one-off lessons for that, private lessons, just to get through that. The worst thing in the world was when she would get in the pool with her mother, because her mother, she would just grab hold like this, and it's for dear life.
Well, it sounds like a great service, so yay.
So it's a really good service. As long as it works within the realm and the scope of what they want to do, and you do pay a real big premium for it, so.
Okay.
And it gives that quality one-on-one time and that 100% focus that you need with difficult kids.
Awesome. You sold me.
Do we do special rates for if they like purchase multiple private lessons?
We don't. No.
All right, so motion?
Commissioner Shipman motions to accept the new wage scale for the salary schedule for 2018.
Okay, I will second it. All right, discussion? Any more discussion? Questions? All right. All those in favor of approving the wage scale as appears on page 64, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passed.
Okay. Just a brief note going back, because we approved the bookkeeper, but I want to make sure that, Michelle, you're aware. To go up to the next step for her, it's not on a year basis for the bookkeeper. It's based on 12 active months, or work a minimum of 500 hours to move up to the next step. I know November she's like 3 years, but with her only working 15 to 20 hours a week, she may not be at that 2950. So we just need to be sure of the hours.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So this is about 500 hours.
So yeah, it's.
I would have to get a report to see how many hours.
Right. So that's all. I just wanted to make that clear.
Okay, so our next discussion is the district administrator stipend calculation, which actually also applies to the bookkeeper. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. And this was also, like, the finance committee sure was busy.
Yes. And to be totally fair, this was not one I was familiar with, but.
Okay, well, we're all pretty familiar with
this. We just kind of already did bring it up about the fact that we can't, the stipend, 15% stipend, up to 40 hours per week due to the limitations we have with paychecks. They can't do it at a minimum. They can't break it out for 20, 25 hours. So it came to the committee to change it to stay up to 40 hours. Which is basically the discussion that the same thing was in the bookkeepers. The discussion of that this one does have options. Paychex does have the ability to create custom profiles for employees, but not with our current time card program, which we have not been able to investigate the added time to do that, which is option B. Option A is to maintain current time card machine and permit stipend on all hours worked up to 40 hours per week. The Board of Commissioner manages time of employee and budgets accordingly. Option B, as mentioned, is to upgrade our time card and software system, Stratus Time, and then maintain the current cap of 15% on a maximum of 20 hours per week. The Finance Committee did calculate that the district administrator had been overpaid approximately $430 since his start with the district through July 15th pay period of 2018, I should say. The TPMD Employee Handbook Section 4.4 requires repayment by the employee. The recommendation from the Finance Committee is to approve Option A and update district administrator's job description, Employee Handbook A-3, to state under hours, wages, and benefits. An allowance equal to 15% of gross hourly wage up to a maximum of 40 hours per week. Permit repayment, and the recommendation B is permit repayment of TPMPD overpayment to district administrator by the DA over the next 8 pay periods.
Okay. All right. I make a motion that we approve this. What is this?
This district administrator stipend.
Right. Well, it's not just a district administrator stipend. It should be. It's a stipend for anyone whose job requires less than 40 hours a week.
Yes.
So, So I wouldn't call it the district administrator stipend. It's the benefited. It's benefited employees whose job requires less than 40 hours. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a mouthful. All right. Would you like to second that?
Thank you. I will second with the changes.
Okay, so obviously we're changing.
Aaron, what changes are you talking about?
The change as far as like the subject matter to the district administrator, but that it's to employees that are working under the 40 hours a week that are, what do you recommend?
Except that, to be fair, it is included when we approve the bookkeeper, the stipend. This one already has it up to 40 hours per week.
So it already had that.
But you're correct, they should kind of be combined.
Okay, so hold on. Because that would require, we're talking about, so in the case of the bookkeeper, we put that verbiage in as part of the job description.
Correct.
Okay.
So
now, yeah.
Right. So this is basically just looking at changing it into the job description for the district administrator job description, so that it does and reads the same way as the bookkeeper's job description. Am I correct?
Yes, that is correct.
So we don't need to change any of the verbiage on that?
No. We would need to add the verbiage to the district administrator's job description.
Correct.
That's in the bookkeeper's description. Yes. Because it seems like we're doing this by job description.
Right.
For example, Austin is an assistant manager. The expectation is that he works up to 40 hours a week. If he exceeds 40 hours a week, it must be pre-approved by his supervisor, which is Michelle. And Austin is allowed to get 15% stipend on up to 40 hours worth of work. He does not get, if he goes into overtime, he does not get, right. Now, because of the software problems that we have, we can't limit another position. You know, we've got the 40-hour cap, that's it. So with Christine's job, if Christine's job is said to be a 20-hour-a-week job, then she will need to, you know, if she's going to exceed 20 hours, it's coming from the operations budget mostly, and so Michelle will need to approve it, or Richard, if it's district stuff she's working on, and then that there's a cost for that as well, for going over, you know, she'll get paid 15% over however many hours she worked. And with Richard, the position is 20 to 25 hours. We've defined that, and Richard has been instructed that if he's going to exceed 25 hours, then I have to approve. So there should not be any, so we've kind of instilled this case where nobody can exceed their allotted time unless they get approved, whether it's Austin over 40, whether it's Christine over 20, whether it's Richard over 25.
Right, and we're still only doing the 15 on the allotted original amount of time of what the job description is.
Well, no, because if for example, Richard, you know, is doing something that requires him to work more than 25 hours and I've approved it, then he will get 15% over whatever he, over the approved amount.
Up to 40.
Same thing with Christine.
But then if you went over 40, though, say, like, then would you have to reapprove that again, and then we get that continued?
It's only up to 40.
It's so only up to 40 hours a week.
Right, so if you're using Austin as an example for that,
okay.
It means at 40,
yes.
Then are we going to continue to pay him 15% on top of that 40?
No.
Because his thing could possibly go up to 40.
Question. Doesn't the software work well with the 40?
The software works well with the 40. Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah. What's the question? I'm sorry.
Well, what I'm saying is
if okay, we're, Austin works.
If we're willing to pay somebody that job description-wise is 20, 25 hours,
yeah.
And they ask or say, I need to work 30 hours this week, so we'll pay them the 15% on the additional 5 hours that they
yes.
work, right?
Yes.
If Austin needs to work for an extra 5 hours, that's worth 45 hours,
right.
He's capped at 40 hours, and if we don't give him, even if we give him permission, he's still not getting that 15% on that additional 5 hours.
No. But see, when he goes over 40, he goes into an overtime.
He goes into a time and a half, on his hours.
Or
right.
Anything under 40, they don't make more money per hour. It's they're the same hourly rate up to 40.
So he'll get time
right.
and a half.
I'll still get that extra time and a half.
But will you get that?
But he
right.
won't get the 15% over the extra time he worked.
Right.
We had a problem with
over,
that.
Over at the time and a half rate, but we'll still get 15% at. Not at all, not even at the regular rate.
No, he
yeah.
gets the 15% of the
40. The 15% stipend will not.
No, it's only up to 40. Yeah, only up to 40.
It caps at 40.
Okay. Yeah.
It's flat caps.
Because we actually had a problem.
We did. So
yes.
when Jennifer had the couple assistant managers under her, they were getting lots of overtime, and they were getting the 15% of every hour that they're working is even the overtime. So
yeah.
that was found out. You know,
right.
And then we fixed that. Yeah. So
exactly. So the overtime is a necessary evil.
Mm-hmm.
Not evil. I mean, you know, people shouldn't have to work overtime because if you're working more than 40 hours a week, then there are other things that aren't working. But it happens, you know, it just does, and that's okay, but we're not going to pay the 15%, which is a stipend for healthcare, because we're such a small district, we can't afford to give them healthcare. So, for example, if Austin worked overtime and we had a healthcare package, he wouldn't be getting more, you know, more bandages or something. He'd still get his regular healthcare, but he'd get overtime,
right.
too.
No, I just wanted to clarify
yeah.
that,
right.
that
no.
but that's what was going on.
Yes, I believe that we're all clear
okay.
on that. Okay, so where were we? Did you second
verbiage that you needed to be able to have a motion put on if this was going to just stay as an update for the district administrator's job description, which isn't necessarily in here, but this is just...
No, it is. It's right here. Back on the job description,
there
the district administrator lists the job expectation. Blah, 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 blah. Further discussion, blah, 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 blah. So,
an allowance equal to 15% of gross hourly wage up to a maximum of 40 hours per week. That's the verbiage
yes.
to be added.
Correct.
Where?
So, on recommendations, A, approve option A and update the district administrator's job description. And again, the reason we don't have to update the bookkeeper's job description is we've just passed it and already has the verbiage. Employee handbook, appendix A3, to state under hours, wages, and benefits, an allowance equal to 15% of gross hourly wage up to a maximum of 40 hours per week. So the recommendations are to approve option A and then approve option B, because the overpayment to the district administrator happened prior to the passing, if this passes, of this, and so there's still be the overpayment.
there, do you need a motion? Is there a motion?
There is a motion.
There's a motion.
Ellen moved, but
Aaron.
Did you second it?
I seconded it.
And then he had questions.
Clarification. Richard asked about what the verbiage was for it.
Point
and I was
clarification.
Like, right, wanted to double check the verbiage that we were talking about.
It's so good to hear from you. This is the most I've heard you talk in a meeting.
There's only three of us, so.
No. Stepping up.
Bandwidth.
Okay, so the motion on the table is to approve option A and update the DA's job description as follows, and then to permit the repayment of the TPMPD overpayment to the district administrator by the DA over the next 8 pay periods. That is the motion on the table. Any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, I call this to a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passed. Okay, Richard, that's work for you to do. Okay, last thing on here, video surveillance policy. Okay, this came from TPAC, I guess?
Correct.
Okay.
Will this turn into a policy? This will, right?
Well, this is what they're recommending to be a policy.
Does it need to be, like,
where it's going
to
go?
Formatted to the...
Right.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking it does.
Well, then it hasn't gone to legal.
Right, and I think this is just, yeah, to give it to the board to be able to review, to be able to make any changes that need to go to legal, and then go to the proper format. And then
okay, so who wants to talk about this? Who was part of the discussion? Oh, come on.
I was part of the initial discussions and everything like that. It's been bandied about a little bit, and it appears that it's been updated to based on recommendations sent back to TPAC, and looks like it's come out in a final draft form ready for board discussion at this point. And if the board agrees at this point that this is an adequate draft policy to get started with, then I would assume that you would approve it to go and take the rest of the steps it needs to on this journey to get final authorization and approval.
I know that it went through 2 TPAC meetings.
Yep.
I was at the original meeting where we started.
Yep.
Vanessa was at the second one where I think some of these redline versions were made.
Correct, which is this last month.
Right, at the last months. There was a lot of input put into it. But as Aaron says, it needs to be formatted to match, or to Michelle said, to match the other policies.
My personal opinion is I think it's pretty good. It's grown quite a bit in length, but the main thing in my concern is legal review at this point.
Okay, thank you, Dave. All right, so I guess discussion? I have some discussion. Under 2 procedures, only persons designated by the Director of Aquatic Operations will have access to the monitors or to the recordings made. So let's just pretend that we don't have our fine, fabulous Michelle. Let's pretend we have somebody who we suspect is, I don't know, using a hammock in the basement. how so can...
Hyperthermic means we found a bag full today.
In the basement?
No.
In the bathroom!
But they could have very well been a diabetic, if you said.
That's true.
Don't we have sharp objects? Okay, never mind. Okay.
Just say there's things here.
Right, you know, there's... So my concern is that... And I'm just... It's just discussion, so I'm just putting it out there. If we had an issue where there was some suspicion of the Director of Aquatic Operations, I don't know that asking the Director of Aquatic Operations if we could observe them is necessarily a good idea. I don't know if the Board of Directors should also be listed as, you know... designated by the director of aquatic operations or a member of the, I don't know what you put there. I don't know either. But that is a question I think that could be gone to Brian and possibly reviewed for options.
I think when TPAC was doing this, they were doing it, they were basically, the question was who would be monitoring it.
Yeah, and it would definitely
and you're correct that, I mean, we have to also look at that. I mean, our wonderful Michelle would be the one, you know, but further down, you never know, that can change.
Okay.
Right, and also some of the changes were that there's designated personnel. Now, understand that the recordings will not be erased for at least 30 days.
Right.
And then city standards based on that, or even legal standards if there's criminal activity.
Right, then yeah.
So, and that's all documented.
Right. Know.
So the recording, even if the highest level of authorization is suspected, it can't be altered.
Right.
So it can be reviewed by anybody that's authorized within those time frames.
Well, technically anybody who makes a Freedom of Information Act request.
Good. Yeah, obviously. But I mean, we're talking about a separate situation here where it would be an internal an internal administrator with access to the equipment.
Well, and but Richard brings up a good point, but this policy doesn't, I mean, even if we were to adopt the policy tonight, which we are not going to do, but even if we did, it doesn't say that we have to implement it. So, I mean, there's obviously a lot of questions here, like how much the equipment costs, where is the equipment going to go, and all this lists that. And then because there is record retention, you know, issues here, and then what if somebody, like how do we, if somebody says, well, I want to see all the, you know, video from, you know, this time to this time, and, you know, we need to get all that stuff in place before we, you know, cut loose with video surveillance, because there's a cost.
That would be, I would assume, an amendment to public records disclosure, that it would be a separate distinct policy for how you're going to deal with folks, not the collection of video monitoring, this is going to address, but how you're going to disclose that information based on request on that policy. Yeah. So it would be a different policy.
Maybe we could just put it in the police station over there, the community thing.
Yeah.
The whole city could get it, as I've always wanted. But anyway, okay, so.
Don't make it Wi-Fi.
Okay. So thank you to, just a note to thank you to TPAC for the amount of work that went into this. This is very clear but thorough, and I, you know, obviously there was a lot of discussion in the first several red lines. Okay, so what do we think? Is this something that we, okay, so obviously the comment that I heard was needs to be formatted, like our policies, and then needs legal. So do we start with formatting? Okay. Richard, I'm gonna put this on your task list. Can you work on formatting this like a policy, and I don't know which policy number it would be or anything like that. But this is kind of a high level.
I kind of need that number.
No, I know. Well, we can look at it. We can figure it out. I mean, you don't need it right this second. Okay, so we want to, you know, format it, and we'll give it a correct number, and then we'll go to legal. Sound good?
Do you want to add the part in what you were saying in procedures too for the aquatic operations and or like BOC?
You know, I think we can leave it as is and then see what Brian says. Because, you know.
How would you go about finding the policy number?
What I would do is I would search other policies.
The MRSC may have a policy.
Yeah,
number.
I don't know. I mean, there's definitely tables of contents, and I know our policies have a table of contents, so it's going to go under there. I think it would be in operations. So, I mean, I'm not going to worry about it this second.
No, I was just
I definitely wouldn't make it up. Definitely have some good research on why I did that. Okay, so, very good. Wait a second. All right. Here we go. Here's my sheet. Okay, is there any... So this is it's going to Richard and then to legal. All right, and we need a policy member. All right. Miscellaneous. Do I have any miscellaneous?
Sorry.
I'm like, can't wait to get out of here.
No, I'm good. I just...
Okay. All right. So I'm sorry, my board members. I'm going to call you into an executive session. Just the board members. Pursuant to RCW 42.30.110, and I'm going to say it's going to be 15 minutes. But you do not have to stay to come back. There's, I don't just believe there's going to be any action after eight, so if you want to leave, you can leave.
Oh, we don't have to leave?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're going to just come back and turn after eight?
Yeah, we're just going to come back and
leave. Kids have fun.
You said 15 minutes.
15 minutes.
I'm going to hold her to that.
8:45. Austin, that's part of the law. We have to do it. So even if everybody leaves and we're the only ones here, if we talk longer than 8:45, then 8:45. 8:45.
Oh, 8:45.
Yes. Then we'll just be done. Okay.
Okay.
So have a good rest.
Thanks for coming, Austin.
Yeah.
Respond.
Yeah.
Are you taking this?
Yes.
I don't know how to turn it.
I'm on to you. Are you around tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good morning.